And I want to just say this. We used to sing this song a long time ago. At least I did. I don't know about you guys, but I know I have. A long time ago in this songbook. And the name of it is, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And it goes like this. "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And that word that came forward tonight, he said, "Don't put my word aside." And he says, in this song, he says, just to take him at his word.
Yeah.
Just to rest upon his promises. Hallelujah. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know how many of you have gone through difficult situations, or maybe you are going through a difficult situation right now. And sometimes it seems like it's too overwhelming. God says he wants us to trust him, especially when you are going through a difficult situation. This time, when you go through these things, it helps us to grow in faith. We can develop great faith. You know, you could be in little faith right now, but you can develop and come to that place of great faith through trusting God in difficult times. You heard again what the Lord said tonight. I hope you don't forget those things that he told us. Let's move on to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 in the King James Version. It says, "Trust in the Lord with half your heart."
No.
Do we trust God with all our hearts? "And lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, in the Message Bible, it says it like this. "Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track." I want to share a little bit of my testimony when I went through a difficult time when Nicholas was here. You know, God told me, because sometimes we try in ourselves to think how God's going to work things out on our behalf. And God told me, he told me as I was trusting God for when Nicholas had cancer, he told me, he said, "Lean not to your own understanding. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. Stop trying to figure out how I'm going to heal Nicholas. You see, I thought I was trusting God with all my heart. But then the Lord reminded me that I wasn't focused. I was focused on the healing instead of focusing on the healer.
Amen.
And that's what he told me. Focused on the problem instead of resting upon his promises and trusting him. That's what he told me. What does it mean to trust? In Hebrew, it means to lean the whole body on something to rest upon. Why do you think, or why do you think that we have difficulty in trusting God when we go through difficult times? Well, we trust God in the natural realm every day, don't we? We place our trust in natural things all the time. For example, when you came in here tonight, did you check to see if that chair would hold you up?
No,
you trusted that chair would, right? When you're driving, do you ever wonder if your brakes on your car, when you put your foot on that brake, will stop the car? No, you trust that the car will stop, right? We trust in natural realm, in the natural realm every day, don't we? How much more should we trust in our Heavenly Father if we can do those things? There's no one better than to put our trust in than our Heavenly Father. God always has the answer. Now, if you haven't, and we got this in Joyce Meyer's Unshakable Trust, so I'm going to read, I stole one of her little ideas. If you are having trouble, or if you haven't been doing so, you can make that decision tonight to begin putting your trust in God in every situation in your life. There is no excuse for all of that. God has been so good to us. Trusting God is a privilege.
Amen. Amen.
It is a choice we can make. Let's turn to Psalms 56, verses 3 and 4 in the Amplified Bible. What time I am afraid, and I'm not saying fear won't come or you won't be afraid when you're going through stuff. You understand? But God's word said, when the time I'm afraid, I will have confidence in and put trust and reliance in you. By the help of God, I will praise his word. On God, I lean, rely, and confidently put my trust. I will not fear what can man do to me. Mm-hmm. Amen? Okay. When the doctors told me that Nicholas had cancer, it was very frightful. And fear wanted to set in. My mind was filled with what ifs. And you, believe me, your mind can be tilt, tilt, tilt. Your mind wanders all the time. But you see, back then, I didn't know the Word of God like I do today. And some of you, I don't know where you are in the Lord just yet. And I don't know how much Word you get inside of you, but God knows. putting your trust in God will be easier on some days. On some days when your life is going well. But in those days or those times when they're not going so well, it would be more difficult. I didn't say it would be impossible. I said it would be more difficult. You may not understand why, where, or what God is doing in your life, but the most important thing to remember is trust Him. He said it again tonight. And I was so excited when he said those things because I know that he wanted me to teach this lesson. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not unto thy own understanding. Well, you see, me, I wanted to know. Sometimes we think we need to know. And God's not ready to let us know yet. He just says, trust me. Just trust me. That word understanding means in the Hebrew wisdom or knowledge. Wisdom or knowledge. We are not to rely on our faulty human wisdom and limited understanding. I think God knows more than we do, right? We are to trust in the Lord and lean on His wisdom.
That's right.
Leaning on my wisdom or your wisdom may lead you not to trusting in Him. Sometimes we haven't a clue, not one clue, on how God will work things out on our behalf. Not one. The second thing the Lord said to me was, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. Let's go to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. In the NLT. And then, you see, God always confirms His word. Whatever He tells you, and it lines up with the word, you know it's God. My thoughts are not nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, he tells you in this that his thoughts are just as high as the heavens. Just imagine the heavens here, and here we are on earth. Just think of the distance that is. So you know his thoughts are higher. James Moffat's translation says, God's thoughts and his ways are vastly superior to human understanding, urging believers to trust in his divine wisdom and plan, even when it seems contrary to their own. I think I want to repeat that again. It says, God's thoughts and ways are vastly superior to human understanding, urging believers to trust in his divine wisdom and plan, even when it seems contrary to their own. And then the Lord said to me, stop trying to figure out how am I going to heal Nicholas. You see, God isn't asking me or you to figure it all out. He's asking us to trust Him. His thoughts are higher and His ways are better. When you are in the middle of a situation, quit trying to figure it out and start leaning on the Lord. You may not understand everything, but you can trust Him. You can put your faith in Him because He cannot and will not let you down. Do you believe that tonight?
Yes.
Okay, Proverbs 3:6. Again, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. What does that mean? In all your ways acknowledge Him. We are to recognize that He is God. Acknowledge His authority in what we are doing. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. If we want to walk down the straight and good path, God has a good plan for us. He says so in His word. He's got a good plan for each and every one of us. God had a plan for the children of Israel to possess Jericho. Let's go to Joshua 1 through 20. Now Jericho, a fortified city with high walls, was tightly closed because of the people's fear of the son of Israel. No one went out or came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its kings and mighty warriors." Verse 3. "Now you shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do this once each day for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets made of ram's horn ahead of the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. When they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall cry out with a great shout," or battle cry, it says, "and the wall of the city will fall down in its place. And the people shall go up, each man going straight ahead, climbing over rubble." Verse 6. "So Joshua, the son of Nun, called for the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and have 7 priests carry 7 trumpets made of ram's horns ahead of the Ark of the Lord.' He said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men go ahead of the Ark of the Lord.' And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets made of ram's horns went on before the Lord and blew the trumpets. Then the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went behind them, and armed men went in front of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued to blow the trumpet. But Joshua commanded the people, 'You shall not shout the battle cry, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word come out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.'" Verse 11. "So Joshua had the ark of the Lord taken around the city on the 1st day, circling it. Then they came back into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua got up early in the morning on the 2nd day, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets made of ram's horn ahead of the ark of the Lord went on continually, blowing the trumpet, and the armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord. while the priests continued to blow the trumpets. Verse 14, on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they got up early at daybreak and marched around the city in the same way seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Verse 17, "The city and everything that is in it shall be under the ban that is designated to be destroyed as a former tribute to the Lord. Only Rahab and the prostitute, all the people who are with her in the house shall be allowed to live, because she hid and protected the messenger whom we sent. But as for you, keep yourself away from the things under the ban which are to be destroyed, so that you do not covet them. And take some of the things under the ban for personal gain, and put the camp of Israel under the ban, doom and destruction, and bring disaster upon it." And he goes on to say a little bit more. They blew the trumpet. The priest blew the trumpet. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they raised a great shout, and the wall of Jericho fell down, so that the sons of Israel went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they overthrew the city. Now, the reason why we see it here, that God's hand was given to Joshua and the children of Israel to possess Jericho. And when God revealed to Joshua his plan, do you think that it made sense to Joshua that he would do it this way? No. So why do we do the same thing to God when he gives us that plan? And it doesn't look like it's a good plan, but you follow it anyway. He probably thought of seizing Jericho with the army, military. But he got directions from the Lord to march around Jericho's walls. With the priest leading the way, then God instructed him and the priest to blow the horn, and the people shout loudly on the seventh day. And when it happened, the walls of Jericho fell down. So why am I saying this? It must have taken great faith for Joshua to carry out the Lord's orders. And then, sometimes for us, it takes great faith to trust God's plan. But when we do as he asked us to do, his plans will always bring success. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Now I'm going to read you this little story. It says, "Trust God to answer. Clinging to the ledge with sheer cliff below, Brenda desperately searched for her contact lens. Her safety rope had snapped across her face, and one of her contact lenses had popped out. She cried to the Lord, 'God, your word says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know exactly where my contact is. Please help me find it.' There was no sign of the lens. Finally, Brenda's rock climbing group descended where a new party was waiting. Someone shouted, 'Hey, has anybody lost a contact lens?' An ant was slowly crawling across the face of the rock carrying Brenda's contact. Maybe you need an answer to your prayers tonight. God answers, just like he did Brenda. And he used an ant to answer her prayer. Isn't that amazing about God?
Yes.
He used an ant to carry, to answer her prayer. But maybe you can carry the contact lens or provision someone is believing for. You ever thought of that? You can be. When Nicholas and I were going through the time of our life, we had a businessman that carried the contact lens for us. I couldn't work. I had to take care of my son. And the only income I was having was child support from my husband at that time. But God knew that I needed more, and he provided finances for me at that time. And God gave me a word for this man. Every time he sent us money, he gave me a word every time to encourage him. In Proverbs 19:17, it says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. That which he has given, he will repay to him." Isn't that beautiful? And I know God paid him back for blessing us. And God will do the same for you if you dare to trust him and to believe his word. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Lean not." No, it doesn't. Sorry. It says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." No, it doesn't. It says, "Trusting God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Now, let me just read this to you. This is a call to a life of faith. Trust and dependence on God. Recognizing his wisdom and guidance in all areas of our lives. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's worth reading again. It's a call to a life of faith, trust, and dependence on God. Recognizing his wisdom and guidance in all areas of our life. Whether it be finances, whether it be healing for your body, physical healing, or emotional, mental, relational, or even God. All of this together, you got to remember, when we rely on God, he honors that. When we put our trust in him, he honors that. That's telling him that he's a good daddy God, and he does his good. Let's bow our heads. And you say this after me. Father,
I commit
myself
anew
into your hands.
I trust you
to take care of me
in
everything and in every way.
Guide me
and grant me
the grace to follow
you always.
If I get hurt,
I trust you
to comfort me.
If I get sick,
if I get sick
I trust you
to heal me.
If I have a need,
I trust you
to meet it.
If I don't know
what to do,
I trust you
to show me.
I am always
on your mind.
Father,
I trust you.
I am yours.
And you are mine.
And I trust you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.